Good morning, everyone. Obviously, by now, you've become aware of the fact that our July 5th reopening has been postponed to a later date. That's just to ensure the health of both those in our congregation as well as those who are in our community. Now, I know that so many of you are so disappointed in hearing about this and that you're discouraged about hearing about this. So many of you had done so well in pre-registering for our 9 a.m. and our 11 a.m. services, so I know that it's disappointing to you, but I just want you to know that our eldership, that we really are disappointed. We're really saddened that we were not able to reopen things, and so we had to make that hard decision, but we just want you to know that the hard decision was made out of the best interest for all because of our love that we have for you. The truth of the matter is, family, is that life can be hard. I mean, we're going through some times in our life right now as a nation and as a congregation where it's just tough. And if it's not tough, then it certainly is a challenging time for each and every one of us. When you talk about the COVID virus and so forth, well, you know, and the pandemic and the various kinds of tensions that are going on in the nation, well, it has the potential of getting us down and discouraging us. Listen, if you have not been directly affected by the COVID virus in terms of the virus itself and your health, well, you have been, you know, affected simply by the fact that it exists. Because of the fact that we are going through some things as a nation and as a congregation, we're just having to emotionally deal with the strain of it all, social distancing and wearing masks and self-isolation and all those kinds of things. Well, those are the kinds of things that can get a person down. But even in the midst of all this, there are the words of Jeremiah, the prophet that John read to us just a few moments ago. And like he said, these are words that are very familiar to us. These are words that we know because it's a song that our teenagers began singing from the scriptures probably 30 years ago when it first started here being sang. And now it's sung by teenagers today, even by congregations. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. These are great words. These are great words of encouragement. That certainly is positive thinking when you talk about spiritual things. Now, I know what some of you might be thinking. You might be thinking to yourself, well, you know, that's easy for him to say. He's not going through what we are going through as a congregation or as a nation or even as individuals. Listen, the writer of this was Jeremiah the prophet, and he writes the book of Lamentations. The word Lamentations comes from the word lament. The word lament means to cry out loud. The idea is that we are crying out loud to the Lord out of despair or out of sorrow or out of pain or out of disappointment, out of discouragement, out of a lot of different kinds of emotions that are flooding into the life of Jeremiah. And from those emotions floods the book of Lamentations. The psalm, it has a number of psalms that are called lament psalms. But the entirety of the book of Lamentation, which is the only book in the Bible with this kind of a lament, that is, the entire book is a lament. Some have called this a diary of Jeremiah as he walks through the city of Jerusalem after it had been destroyed and destruction was everywhere about him. He begins to write about the emotions, the feelings, the things that he is seeing around him. And so he begins to reflect on the hard times, the difficult times, the challenging times that he finds himself going through in his life. Look at verses 19 and 20 of Lamentations 3. He said, I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. The New Living Translation puts it a little bit differently. Same thoughts, though. The thought of my suffering and homelessness is bitter beyond words. I will never forget this awful time as I grieve my loss. And so Jeremiah, he had been prophesying to the children of Israel for over 40 years. And in that 40-year period, he had spoken over and over and over again about the need for Judea, for the children of Israel and Judah to change, to repent of their wicked ways, to repent of their evil and their sinfulness, their immorality, the way that these handled one another socially and so forth. It was absolutely disgusting. And yet they refused to listen to what Jeremiah had to say as a mouthpiece of God. And the result of that was that God decided to punish them. He gave them a lot of years to make changes, but they refused to listen. And so in 586 BC, Nebuchadnezzar, who was the king of Babylon, which was the world power of the day, Nebuchadnezzar, along with his army, surrounds the city of Jerusalem and lays siege to Jerusalem. Inside the walls of the city, there is great desperation. Jeremiah is seeing all of this. Women who are cannibalizing their babies. There is starvation. There is disease. There's all kinds of extremely terrible things. Those who were criminals were running amok throughout the city, oppressing people. It was a terrible scene that was there. Then in 587, Nebuchadnezzar, he breached the walls of Jerusalem, and he went into and he ransacked the city. Some of the things that are in the memories of Jeremiah as he looks back at his suffering, as he thinks about his homelessness, as he thinks about as he's walking through the city of Jerusalem and its destruction, he sees Jehoiakim, who is the king, who tries to escape through a small breach in the wall, only to be tracked down and brought back, and to see with his own eyes his sons boiled alive before his eyes, and then his eyes were burned out of his head, leaving him a lasting memory. Those are the things that Jeremiah saw. He saw destruction. He saw the temple razed to the ground and ransacked. He saw those who on the streets who were slaughtered. And those who were not slaughtered were carried away into captivity, having fishhooks put into their mouths and traveling across a vast desert back to Babylon. Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, they were part of those who were taken into captivity. Anything of value, whether it was property or whether it was people, Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon took them away from the city, leaving only refuse, leaving only destruction. And this is in the mind of Jeremiah. You see, Jeremiah was a realist. Jeremiah didn't go through a lot of just positive thinking kinds of things. He wasn't like Zig Ziglar, who says that, you know, when you get up in the morning, you need to clap your hands together three times and say, I feel great. There's none of that positive feeling with him. There wasn't that kind of mantra in his vocabulary. When he looked around him, he saw the realism of the devastation that was there, and it caused him to write the book of Lamentations. We have been going through some difficulty as a nation. Globally, the world is going through difficulty. Certainly, there is this pandemic that is all around us. And yes, there is tension within our nation politically and racially and a number of other things. Those things are there. And it's very easy to fall into a very negative kind of emotion where we really are discouraged, where we feel a sense of despair, where we feel as though maybe is all hope lost. And yet Jeremiah says that's not so. I just want to warn you that if all we do is reflect on the negative side of things, all we'll do to ourselves is cause our soul to be further and further downcast, falling into that sinking quicksand of depression, the gray fog, the dark night of the soul. Jeremiah, he decides that even though he is in this dark night of the soul and sees this destruction around him, he says these words in verse 21, "Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope." You see, as Jeremiah looks around, he knows things are bad, but he knows it's not God's fault. He knows that what has ever happened to Jerusalem and to Judea, God's people, he knows it's something that they brought upon themselves because of their refusal to repent and to change from their evil and sinful and wicked ways. They brought it on themselves. So Jeremiah knows who is the God of goodness. He knows where he needs to direct his attention. So he says, I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. So he begins to reflect on God's steadfastness. He begins to look at how good God really is. In other words, what I'm saying to you is Jeremiah changed his mind talk. He had a choice. He could either just look at the pain and a sorrow that he was feeling or those things that were around him, or he could lift up his eyes and look to the God of hope. Some of you might be saying, okay, well, what exactly is this mind talk that you're talking about? It's your inner conversation. It's what you say to yourselves. It's your wrestling with yourself. It's what you tell yourself about the people and the events in your life. it's easy for us at this time to do that very thing, to look at the people who are around us, those who are close to us and those who are far off. It's easy for us to look into the lives of those who are around us and make judgments, and sometimes they're harsh judgment, or to look at the events of our life. Or it's how you interpret what happens to you and around you, how you see it and the interpretation that you have for it. Have you noticed how people look at sometimes the exact same thing and they're on completely opposite or polar opposites of one another? They're seeing the same thing, they're hearing the same thing, but they're on opposite ends of the spectrum. Before you feel, you think. All your emotions, good, bad, or indifferent, are the products of what you think about. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, there it says, as a man thinks within himself, so is he. One translation says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So Jeremiah, he is choosing in this moment, in the midst of this destruction around him, this desolation around him, he decides that he's going to look at some positive things. And so he says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Think about that word steadfastness. It's something that is solid. It's an anchor. It's a refuge. It's a rock for him to go back to. He says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. The word Lord, or the word love here, is in the plural. Its better translation would be loving kindnesses or mercies. The Hebrew word hesed, it encompasses God's love. John 4 and verse 8, it says that God's nature is that of love. It's talking about God's grace. That is, he is giving to us things that we do not deserve, and his mercy, not getting the things that we do deserve. His goodness, that God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. There is forgiveness given to us every day. There is truth. There is compassion and faithfulness. And it's all wrapped up into this one word. It's an important word in the Old Testament. In fact, it's used over 250 times, which says to me and probably should say to you that this is an important word because it reminds us of God. Jeremiah says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. No matter how hard times might get, God's love is always greater. It's sometimes for us hard for us to see that, but sometimes we recognize it in the periods of waiting times that I'll talk about later. Jeremiah went on to write, his mercies never come to an end. All else may fail us, but God's mercies are compassionate and will not end. Completely different from the Babylonians who attacked and besieged Jerusalem. There was no mercy to them. They were taken without mercy. They were killed without mercy. Even in our world today, there are things that you see on TV or on the webpage of people who are merciless. And yet we find out from what Jeremiah said that God is merciful and that it never comes to an end. That is, that we're not getting what we deserve. We deserve much worse, and yet God loves us and is merciful toward us. They are new every morning. Think about that. Every day is a new day of hope with God. The morning brings a fresh start, a new beginning. Sometimes we go to bed at night, and as we lay our heads up on our pillows, we rehearse the days, or maybe the past week, or maybe the past months, and we rehearse ourselves through those things, and it can be so despairing. It can be so, disappointing. Like I said, a lot of you have experienced some tough times because of this pandemic. Some of you, actually, your emotions are strained, stretched almost to the end. Some of you are saying, I'm done with this. I've had enough of this. Well, sometimes you can't control what enough is or even what comes at you. This virus is something that's very hard to control. How we think about things is something that we can control. But we lay in our beds and we think about the fact that, I'm struggling economically or I'm struggling with some health issues, or it may be that maybe you have a loved one that's in a hospital and you can't visit them because of the virus. It doesn't allow people to go inside the rooms and so forth. Or maybe you've lost a loved one. Just last Thursday, I officiated at the graveside of Mary Jo Newcomb. 2.5 months before that, I officiated at the memorial service virtually done for Hugh Newcomb. In the virtual, there was no one in the room there with us except for, you know, some people who were leading prayers and some songs and so forth. At the graveside, there was just the immediate family that was there. Mary Jo and Hugh Newcomb were strong members of this congregation, had all kinds of friends, and yet they were not able to participate face-to-face in those moments where you share and you pay your last respects and your final words and words of encouragement to the family and to the friends. That can't happen now because of this thing here. And so you go to bed and you think about those things, but you wake up in the morning and everything is new. Everything is fresh. A new beginning is there for us. I like what Psalm 30 and verse 5 says. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. We have a new view of things. We're starting to look at things maybe a little bit differently. And we have a fresh start with a fresh mind and a rested mind. Jeremiah says they are new every morning. He's looking around at devastation, but he knows God's blessings are there. Great is thy faithfulness. Our own faith may waver from time to time, but like Jeremiah, we need to remember. We need to remember the faithfulness of God in terms of God's love. We need to remember that God is merciful. We need to remember that God is forgiving and that he's caring and that he is compassionate and that he is gracious. We need to remember those things because he is faithful. We may waver, but he never wavers. He is always going to be there for us. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. If you take the word back in its history, then the children of Israel are dividing up the land that they had conquered, and every tribe received a portion except for the priests and the tribe of Levi. They didn't receive a portion. God said to them in Numbers, I am your portion, and that's enough. I have given you a special place. Do you know that you are priests of the Most High God? That Jesus is our high priest, but each of us are priests, and that we have received a portion? What is our portion? Our portion is God's everlasting love. What is our portion? Our portion is God's unceasing mercy. What is our portion? His faithfulness. So Jeremiah is saying to the people, and I think to us so many years later, you may have lost your land, you may have lost your homes, your jobs, your temple, but don't worry about it. God will be your portion. And the things that count, the truth of the matter is when you talk about land and houses and jobs, those things are all temporary. They're only here for a while, and then they go away. But that which remains forever is this portion that he is talking about here. So ultimately, what else do you need that can take you beyond the circumstances of life and beyond the material things of life to a higher place, to where the abundant life is really found and where it really originates? I will hope in the Lord. Great is thy faithfulness. I will hope in the Lord. He is my portion. Jeremiah, even during darkness, found hope. Instead of thinking about all his troubles, Jeremiah began to think about the goodness of God. And notice where his hope is. He goes, my hope is in the Lord. The hope is not in government. The hope was not in society around him. The hope was not in any of those kinds of things. His hope was in the Lord because of his portion, because of his love and his mercy and his faithfulness. That's where he placed his hope. His hope was in God. His trust was in God. So those were Jeremiah's reflections. So what about our role? What's our role in hard times, in tough times, in challenging times? Well, I think we can reflect on those things. Look at verse 25. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. The idea of waiting, how many of you would say that you are good waiters? I have to be honest with you, I'm not a good waiter. I was hoping when I was in my 20s and 30s and 40s that by the time I got to my age now, I'd be much better at this waiting stuff. I don't know if I am. Maybe a little bit. But waiting can be really, really tough. But even in the midst of these waiting times, waiting does not have to be a passive or fatalistic. It's not, I'll just wait and see if God can salvage this one, or, well, I'll just wait and see if God can get us through this one. Notice, remember what Jeremiah said. Great is thy faithfulness. There is a faithfulness about God that takes care of us. So God calls us to do things in this waiting time. God calls us to pray without ceasing. God calls us to read His Word, to be diligent, to study His Word, to be presented as workmen who handle accurately the Word of God. So we're called to stay connected to God, both as we pray to Him, as He speaks to us through His Word. God calls us to encourage others who are suffering and struggling. Maybe you are just kind of just rolling with things, but other people are not. There are some people who are very depressed and down, and so they can use your encouragement with maybe it's a phone call or a text or maybe a copy on Facebook or find some way, a note, some way that you can encourage others who are maybe discouraged and struggling. God calls us to watch for what God may be up to behind the suffering. By that I'm saying to you is, what is that that comes out that's positive? God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Where is the goodness? Look for the goodness. Don't just look towards the negatives, but change the mind talk and start thinking about the things that have come out of this that is a good thing for us. Being closer to our family, spending more with our families, putting aside all these outside distractions that pull us in all kinds of different kinds of directions, this technology that takes us around the globe, and so many other good things that are there. There's a lot to do and to be faithful in what we're supposed to be doing. Beth Moore said, "Faith is not believing in my own unshakable belief. Faith is believing an unshakable God when everything in me trembles and quakes." Family, you're going to have bad days. If you hadn't had bad days, you're going to. Some of you have experienced bad days already, bad weeks, bad months. 4 months of this stuff is a lot, you know. But when you think about it, it seems like a long time. But it's not near as long as, say, the children of Israel in the wilderness for 40 years. Or Abraham, who received a promise from God that he would bear a son who would impact the entire world, Isaac. But he had to wait 25 years. That's waiting now. We will be able to move through this. I want to remind you that God is still on the throne. That means He still has authority. That means He still has power and dominion. I want to remind you that God still loves you with His hesed love, a loving kindness that is all around us. If we'll open our eyes and lift up our eyes as Jeremiah did, with all this devastation around, he was able to lift up his eyes and see. Our part is to trust Him, to wait on Him, to repent and to turn back to Him if we need to do so, and to bring Him our pain and our suffering. God will get us through this. I believe that with all my heart. And if I don't get through it physically, that's okay too. I'll spend eternity with Him forever. Family, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in Him. Believe that and trust that. And life will be so much better for us. May God bless you. May God hold you in the hollow of His hands and protect you in every way. And if you need to respond in some way, please let us know. Let one of the elders know. Let one of the, Jared or Clint or myself know. Let us know what's going on in your life, and we'll do what we can to meet those needs. I love you. I'm so disappointed we can't meet on July 5th, but a good day is coming ahead of us. And we are still able to connect with one another via this media. May God bless you until we meet once again.